This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. Welcome to the show, and thank you for stopping by. Today, we're going to be talking about what's going on with the job market as it relates to clearance jobs. One of our regular guests, Evan Lesser, he's on the line with us. He's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. They are a job site that basically a lot of government agencies and defense contractors and homeland security contractors will go to find cleared candidates, people who have clearances, confidential, secret, top secret clearances, and everything else. And he has a handle on what's happening with this market right now. Welcome, Evan.
Good to talk with you, Derek.
Hey, you know, there's a lot going on. Super committee, defense budget cuts. Maybe let's start off with that before I go down too far the list of everything that's going on. But what's happening with these defense budget cuts? A lot of people are ringing the bells and saying it's going to be a nightmare. But what's the real deal, Evan? What are you seeing with defense contractors out there?
Well, you know, I think that the key word right now is uncertainty. And, the most recent numbers that have been projected are roughly $100 billion in defense cuts per year, starting with the 2013 fiscal year. Those cuts still have a little bit of time before they would take effect. Congress does have some time to potentially change them between now and then. But it's definitely creating an atmosphere of uncertainty, and it's a type of uncertain atmosphere that has not been seen in these industries for a while. So, more than anything, I think companies are being a little bit more cautious. We're not really seeing slowdowns in hiring just yet, but we have received word from a number of employers that budget dollars are being held up, and they're waiting longer than usual to open up positions for contracts that have been awarded.
So, government contractors, whether it be big or small, they're still looking for good people, and they're still kind of having their eyes out because they still see these contracts, or they're still winning contracts. But, they are kind of apprehensive about what's going to happen in 2012. Is that money going to dry up? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's essentially the case. And when you talk about security clearance jobs, and you look at the news that's out there, I think that a lot of people are focusing, rightly so, very heavily on defense spending cuts. It's definitely the largest line item in the federal budget. But don't forget that cleared people work in Homeland Security for all the intelligence agencies and their contractors. You've got cleared people at the Department of Energy, Department of State, a number of different agencies. So, defense obviously is a big area, but it's not all necessarily bad across the board. There's still quite a lot of budget dollars that are flowing for projects in Intel and Homeland Security.
And, I know we were talking right before we started the show that, defense cuts are looking at, maybe $100 billion per year when they start going through and trying to shave these dollars off. But, truthfully, some of that is administrative. Some of that is that changing, how things are done. It's not necessarily always killing a major line item projects that are, employing a lot of defense contractors. Is that correct?
I think that's partially correct. If you look at the DoD budget, and you do take a look at some of the most expensive elements, you've got things like weapon systems. You've got the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. It's cost roughly $385 billion, I believe, is the number so far, and is still ongoing. Those are definitely prime targets for cuts because there's a fair amount of debate as to the usefulness of some of these big weapon systems. And I know that you and I talked a little bit about UAVs and things that are less expensive that are accomplishing a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what's going to get cut? I think it's mostly looking at larger larger weapon systems are probably going to be prime for the chopping block. But at the same time, you've got all kinds of other things that are happening around the globe that need to be worked through and are going to cost budget dollars, whether we like it or not. Libya was a good example of an unexpected expense that something that we had to pay for, and thankfully we were able to keep it to a minimum and still accomplish goals. But helping NATO launch missiles against airstrikes and things in Libya was not a cheap effort, and it's something that we had to kind of pony up for.
And we're seeing, you know, all these events happen. I mean, we saw the the Iranian situation where the British embassy was overran, which kind of brought people back into the time period where the American embassy was overran back in Iran. We're seeing all these different events evolve, and a lot of these events can quickly impact defense spending in terms of, like you mentioned, Libya, about the use of even you know, weaponry or special forces or whoever the case is may have to go in, and it may change how our defense dollars are spent, which may ramp up with some other kind of contracts.
Exactly. And you know, Libya, I think everyone would pretty much say was fairly minimal U.S. involvement. We did have some boots on the ground, and obviously there were a number of missiles that we supplied. But, you know, the total cost had to have been well into the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's definitely not a cheap kind of thing, and as we said, that's something that comes about, and you have to pony up the money to get it accomplished,
And then replace those missiles that have been used. So
exactly,
yeah.
And you know, cybersecurity threats continually evolving and changing, and there's been some discussion that next year the amount of attacks against government and private industry are going to increase exponentially due to arguably some success from those type of groups this year. So those are the type of things that it costs money to fight and to combat. And you talked about planning. You know, there are literally thousands of people working for the government in classified roles, and their jobs are to think about what might happen and what our, you know, contingency plans of operations might be. So it's something that the government is fully aware of and knows that has to be funded.
You know, with this, as we start looking at this kind of job market, you know, and even looking at D.C. and the whole country, you know, as it relates to maybe recent contracts and recent awards, you know, are you scared, or are you kind of, you know, have a sense of hope that even though these cuts are happening, that things are just kind of, you know, things will stabilize? I mean, you know, what are you seeing out there as, you know, D.C. and the DMV market, and also just the whole nation? How are things faring out?
Well, you know, you can take a look at defense.gov/contracts, and you can see every single day of the week what contracts are awarded or amended to companies from all over the DOD. And every single day, you know, like clockwork, you're going to see millions of dollars being awarded for certain projects.
And I know on defense.gov, those are contracts over $5 million, I think, isn't it?
Oh, plenty.
Yeah.
You know, just in the past couple of days, we saw that Booz Allen over in Herndon got a $9.4 million contract to do some work for the Army. The Air Force split about $950 million between 19 companies to do a range of work for the Air Force, but a lot of those companies are either based in D.C. or have a presence in D.C. Just, you know, going through there day by day, it's not sparse. There's millions of dollars being awarded out each and every day, and it really does not happen that you see a single day where there's not been some type of an award or an award modification. And again, we're talking about the DOD only.
Right.
So there's not really a great place to go and see where contracts are being awarded to companies for Homeland Security, intel agencies, Department of Energy, Department of State, other agencies. So there's really quite a lot of budget dollars still being spent, and you know, the DoD budget is quite large and is going to get cut.
Right.
But I think that the negativity that's out in the media at this point may be slightly overhyped.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more to Evan Lesser, who is director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com, about with this whole dynamic and still contracts being released, what's the hiring trends that's going on? What's going to be happening? What are some of the new things that we should be looking at as it relates to clearance jobs? We'll talk about that and much more when we come back. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
As the single largest generator of jobs for the Department of Defense, Lockheed Martin's F-35 represents more than just innovation and freedom. It's an advanced technology program that fuels our nation's economic engine. As a leading-edge fighter, the F-35 has unprecedented capabilities that will help America and its allies defend freedom. And it's creating direct and indirect jobs for over 120,000 Americans and impacting more than 1,300 suppliers in 47 states across the U.S. Software developers in California, steel workers in Pennsylvania, and engineers in Georgia are all working to secure our skies. The F-35 Lightning II program, securing freedom, securing jobs, securing America's future. To learn more, visit F35.com.
Here's Mike Krieger, U.S. Army Deputy CIO, on the Federal Executive Forum on Defense Cloud Computing, sponsored by CA Technologies.
My vision is, and we're seeing it with enterprise email, I can get on with a government or personal computer as long as I have two-factor authentication, and I can access my data and do my work. And we're seeing glimpses of that now. I was in Hawaii last week. From either my government laptop or anybody else's government laptop, I was able to just log on and get my email from the browser.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Okay, you've heard all about how the cloud can support collaboration and save your agency money. That's great. But here's the critical question: can the cloud be secure? CA Technologies lets you control every use of every IT asset by everyone who accesses your systems, including the cloud. So can you say yes to new capabilities? Can you empower your people while protecting your systems and data? With CA Technologies, you can. Learn how at ca.com/cloud.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
NASA says it's launched an internal app store. The apps at NASA's site is only available to the agency's employees and contractors. It'll serve as a home for a suite of mobile applications that provide secure access to NASA's internal IT systems so employees can perform critical job functions from anywhere. The apps will be allowed on both government-owned and personal devices. They'll be hosted and supported by NASA's Center for Internal Mobile Apps in Huntsville, Alabama.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking to Evan Lester. He is the director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. And we are talking about what's going on in the clearance job market, what's going on in the DOD market, Department of Defense market, what's going on in Homeland Security, and what's going on with the whole federal government in terms of hiring, in terms of cleared jobs, in terms of contracts being released. Is it good news or is it bad news? Evan, we were talking about some of these contracts. Defense.gov has an area where they release contracts on a daily basis. And I look at that, too, and I'm always surprised. I'm like, wow, you know, almost every day, you know, about, you know, at least 4, 5, 10 contracts over $5 million are being released, which is a good sign to me that things are still OK. As we look at the whole market, And people who are cleared versus people who are not cleared. You know, when a non-cleared person hears this and hears there's still money, there's still jobs and everything else, but then they go on a job site and all they see is that we're looking for somebody with a TS, top secret or top secret SCI clearance, they get a little bit discouraged. I mean, what is the advice would you give to that kind of person?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple things that are in play at this point. And I guess it's not entirely positive for people that do not have clearance but are trying to get into this market. The first thing is that the pool of security cleared candidates is actually growing, whereas in the past it was shrinking a bit. And the reason that it's growing are for a few reasons. The first is you've got the troop drawdowns happening in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's only going to be increasing over the next year or two. So these are soldiers coming home from battlefront in a wide range of disciplines, not just force protection, but you know, you're finding IT people, you've got engineers, you've got trainers, you've got intel, you've got tech and engineering folks. So you know, there's really a wide range of people that are coming back, and they're coming back in pretty large numbers. So. These are cleared workers that are coming back and looking for jobs. So in that case, you've got the pool of candidates growing. Also finding out that a slightly different trend of retiring baby boomers. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, these baby boomers were retiring and taking their clearances with them doing a kind of a normal retirement, but over the past 3 years, you know, they've seen their 401k and home values drop, and we're finding more and more people are leaving government service after their time and getting into the contracting world because they really have to. It's not necessarily a choice that they would make if the economy was in a better situation, but they're definitely getting back into the workforce. So that is also made the pool of candidates larger.
So with all of that, I mean, and so there's really good news if you are coming out of the military. I mean, if you're a veteran and you're coming out of the military and you have a certain level of clearance, that may be good news for that person, or for a person maybe coming out of government service who has a certain level of clearance. It may be good news for that person, but it may not necessarily be good news as it relates to, you know, somebody who's just trying to break in. Because, I mean, like you just said, the military is drawing down. I know the Marine Corps is trying to right size to 186,000. The Army is going to be you know, cutting back on hiring. You know, I mean, what would you say for the non-clear person? I mean, do you try to get into government service? Are there some, you know, maybe bigger government contractors like a Booz Allen or SAIC who will bring a person in on a non-clear, you know, a position, maybe in another unit, and then maybe if they find work and they'll get you cleared? I mean, what would be your recommendation?
Sure. Well, you know, the effect that we've seen on ClearanceJobs.com in the past when the labor pool was much more tight is that companies were more willing to bring someone on board that did not have a clearance but was clearable and put them through the process. And that's not an inexpensive effort from a company, and it definitely is time-consuming. So it's something that is not easy for them to do, but we saw a fair amount of that in the past. These days, it seems like it's getting back to the way it was immediately post 9/11, where they really were not bringing a whole lot of people on board unless they already had a clearance in hand, because they've got projects that need to go immediately. And with the pool of cleared candidates getting larger versus shrinking due to the factors we just talked about, it really leaves the opportunities for uncleared people definitely smaller than they were in the past. Companies, when they see a larger pool of candidates, are more likely to choose from that pool rather than go through the fairly lengthy process of getting someone a new clearance. I think that the government, especially the OPM, have made really good strides on reducing the timeline of people obtaining clearance, but it's not. It's still not a very short process. It's not something that can take weeks or a few months. You're still looking at a good 6 months on average. The other thing that we're seeing that's definitely a challenge now that was far different in the past is that for someone that doesn't have a clearance and is trying to find a job where they would be able to obtain one, they're finding it more difficult now to obtain a clearance than they did in the past. Main reason is due to the economy. Far more people have a higher debt-to-income ratio. Far more people are declaring bankruptcy, are unemployed for longer. All of that contributes to psychological issues, marital problems, drug and alcohol use. Sure. can flow in there. So what we're finding is that the people who do not have clearance are actually finding it even more difficult to obtain one right now, simply due to the poor economy.
So you we're seeing almost a domino effect of kind of a blowback of, it starts off maybe, hey, I lost my job or I had to take a cut on a couple of different things. And then it starts kind of it's a trickle effect, and it starts adding on more and more problems that now make it to a point where a person becomes unclearable. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. You're starting to get more and more people who may have the maybe technical skills, but that because of personal situations and financial situations and other things, they now have become unclearable.
Yeah. And
to a degree, I should say. To a degree.
Yeah. It really depends on the situation. Sometimes it's not unclearable, but less likely to be cleared. Mm-hmm. Or less suitable to obtain clearance. But that's definitely the case. And, what we look at a lot is signing bonuses. And that actually gives us a pretty good indication as to the overall cleared talent pool and the size of it and how eager employers are to bring people on board. And if you look back towards 2005 or so, when there were quite a lot of projects going on and not nearly enough people to fill them, you were seeing $10,000, $20,000 signing bonuses, all sorts of kind of crazy things going on. It was definitely a candidate's market where they were firmly in control of salaries. These days, with the pool getting larger, signing bonuses have dropped considerably, more towards the $1,000, $2,000 range, if even.
Wow.
So that type of thing is a pretty
good
indicator.
That's a major drop. That's a major drop.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a pretty good indicator of what's going on with the pool of candidates. There are some bright spots, though, and I think that people that have some very specific skill sets but do not have clearance still have an opportunity to get cleared, specifically I would say with the intelligence agencies. So someone that has a number of years of certain language experience or certain types of engineers, cybersecurity gurus that may not be cleared, people that are working with reverse engineering malware and viruses, they're definitely in need from the government. And even if they don't have a clearance, they're probably going to have a much easier time getting cleared due to the nature of the position and how much it's required. But for the average IT or finance or logistics person that does not have a clearance and may have some issues financially, it's definitely causing trouble for them, and they're not finding it very easy to obtain a clearance these days.
We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. We're talking about what's going on with the clearance job market right now, what's going on with hiring, what's going on with trends, what's going on with the budget cuts and how it's having an impact on the market, and what should a person do? If you're a clear person, it seems like there may be some opportunities out there. If you're a non-clear person, it seems like if you have some maybe certain kind of technical skills and certain kind of things that's being sought after in this market, then you may still have an opportunity to jump on with one of these contractors and go from there. We're going to talk about this a little bit more when we come back. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Previously on the Fed's telework panel discussion, sponsored by HP and Intel, Danette Campbell, the senior advisor of telework at USPTO, spoke to the current state of telework at USPTO.
The Telework Enhancement Act of 2010 has helped encourage agencies who did not take the whole telework strategy seriously to really move this forward in their agencies. It encourages training for managers and teleworkers, a succinct telework policy. All of those things are now taken more seriously and are top of mind.
Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework in the federal government at fedstelework.com. Read more on telework resources and get connected with Feds Telework on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you missed the Feds Telework panel discussion on Federal News Radio, you can listen on demand at fedstelework.com on the issues directly affecting federal employees and the way they do business. Learn about the future of telework at fedstelework.com. Fedstelework.com.
We raise high for GW basketball. Some raise high with the jump out of your seat, buzzer beating, hands to the sky scream. Others give their all in the GW fight song, Raising High the Buff and Blue. Raising High is more than just a movement. It's the movement for Colonials basketball, where senators and students, friends and families come together for the thrill of victory. Raise high with GW basketball today. Call 202-994-7325 or visit gwsports.com now.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Join host Michael Keegan next week for the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. How do we lead in an era of complex challenges? How is DOD changing the way it does business? What does USDA do to promote agricultural exports? And how can the U.S. be more competitive? Tune in to the Business of Government magazine next week and find out.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Don't miss a moment of Maryland basketball. Take advantage of our five-game flex plans on sale now. Guarantee your seat for the Duke or North Carolina game by selecting five exciting games, including two additional ACC matchups and two non-conference games. Prices start as low as $185. Only a limited number of flex plans are available, so visit umterps.com or call 1-800-I'M-A-TERP to order your tickets today. Maryland basketball, fear the turtle.
Wouldn't it be great if you could recapture some of the energy used to light all of those holiday displays? Put your hand on a light bulb and you'll feel that along with light, it produces a lot of wasted heat. Vinayak Dravid of Northwestern University says he can tap some of that. He helped engineer a material that becomes hot on one side and stays cool on the other, then turns that temperature difference into electricity.
Part of the light bulb could be hugged with this thermoelectric materials and then can be fed back into electrical grid.
Dravid says the material's unique chemistry allows electricity generation at 10 to 15% efficiency.
We are continuing to improve it further, but even at the 10 to 15 of waste heat converting back to useful energy is an absolute paradigm shift.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having an interesting show talking about what's going on with this clearance market, what's going on with the DOD cuts, what's going on with what's going to be happening in 2012 as it relates to hiring people with security clearances, hiring people within the Department of Defense market, a Homeland Security market, a Department of Energy market, and everything else. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. They are a job site that basically lists jobs from government contractors as well as government agencies who are hiring within the defense, within the Homeland Security, energy, and other markets, but they require people who have clearances. Evan, we were talking about, you know, kind of the evolution of, you know, of things as it relates to the people who don't have clearances, who may be coming in with certain kind of skill sets, whether it be engineering or whether it be maybe a cybersecurity skill set or something specialized. That's what is kind of the evolution of the market as it relates to what's happened. I've been reading a lot more about the use of UAVs, and we mentioned this in the beginning of the show, but drones, robotics, you know, the whole cybersecurity threat. Where are we headed as it relates to kind of almost this Star Trek or science fiction coming true?
Yeah, it really is interesting because you can kind of take a look at the, you know, the scope of warfare and protecting our country over the past 5 years and look at it maybe a few decades ago, and it's just radically different. You know, you think about the what happened with Osama bin Laden, very small team. This was not a gigantic force going in. You know, very small, very high tech, lots of use of intelligence, and you know, that type of thing. It really shows the difference between what's gone on now versus what's gone on in the past. UAVs is a great example. They're really providing a huge amount of data and intelligence to the government, and at a relatively inexpensive cost. It is far easier to launch a UAV and have a pilot sitting nice and comfortable in Tampa, Florida, guiding that sucker somewhere over the Mideast and getting intel that can be immediately fed back and utilized, and at a cost that's far more efficient. So you're correct. I think we're seeing a lot of technology going from, again, the huge weapon systems down to things that are a little bit more cost efficient and manageable, smaller, more intelligent.
I was even reading the article, and I don't know if you saw this, Evan, about there's a project, I think, that's being funded by DARPA. I think it was Harvard or one of the research schools, MIT, Harvard, or something like that, with a robotics, about this robot that had no mechanical inside of it, but it was kind of being moved through by air, and it was, you know, could be used for a number of different, you know, well, the possibilities are kind of endless as they evolve this project, but it just kind of shows the experiments that are being funded by defense advanced research projects, and now you even have Homeland Security advanced research projects. You have intelligence advanced research project agency or activity. All this stuff is it kind of exciting, and is really the next direction of where we're headed. Is that right?
Oh, totally. And you know, I think that a decade ago, when UAVs were really more of a concept than something that was being utilized in practice. They were still really evolving. There was a lot of question as to whether they are going to be an effective tool set for the military and intelligence agencies. And without a doubt, they've proven to be a huge success. You look at some of the critical strikes against Al-Qaeda over the last few years, and drones have played a huge role, either in intelligence, in data gathering, or actually doing the physical strikes themselves. And you know, with that in mind, UAVs are the budget money for those is definitely flowing. it's just so much more cost efficient to utilize a UAV than to send a person up or out or down to gather intel. And we've seen a lot of that reflected on the job postings on clearancejobs.com. The top 10 or so types of positions out there are for systems engineers. They're mm-hmm. for military software engineers, engineering program management, Java software development, intelligence analysts. So it really is just by looking at the open positions, definitely indicative of the fact that high engineering and technology is really shaping where the technology is going for these programs.
Do you see that, because I know you monitor where these contracts are going as it relates to hiring, do you see a major drawdown as it relates, how we used to have a heavy amount of spending on tanks. We used to have a heavy amount of spending on ballistic missiles. We had a heavy amount of spending on joint fighter projects. We had a heavy amount of spending on Navy ships. Are you seeing less and less of that, or do you still see some of that going on, or are you really seeing a complete, 180 or shift in terms of the percentage being now massively being on this technology, special operations, low intensity conflict, and things like that? I mean, what are you looking? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think that one of the things that's been a little bit more prevalent and looking at the job postings again is a good way to see how things are trending. But there have been articles lately that have been talking about the cost-benefit analysis of some of these larger weapon systems and trying to figure out, is this the type of thing that we have to come up with the next generation for now, or can we get by for a while longer with our existing technology and make it work, or possibly do some type of retrofitting? And some good arguments have been made that in the past, we were always evolving. What's the next joint strike fighter look like? What does the next weapon system look like? And thinking very far into the future. But considering the types of conflicts that we've been involved in over the past decade, I think that more and more we're finding that those large programs are not as necessary, and we're thinking that the technology that we have right now for some of those could hold us out for a while longer. We're seeing more money being spent on cybersecurity and cyber offense. It's extremely cheap. It's efficient, and I think most people have agreed that whatever the next large military conflict is, that the cyber element is going to be the first line of attack, as well as defense. So things are definitely changing.
So what I'm hearing, Evan, is this: for a person who is now thinking about their career, it seems as if the business of defense and the business of homeland security is of course is going to always be boots on the ground, and of course we're going to always have to have that kind of dynamic, but it's becoming much more technical. People are going to need to have a high degree of technical skills to really be in this business maybe over the next 10 years or so, whether it be engineering, whether it be the cybersecurity, whether it be the network security. It is evolving into that dynamic where this is becoming a very specialized field.
Without a doubt. And I think that the requirements that we are hearing about from employers on clearance jobs is that they're definitely looking for more people that have specialized skill sets, that have degrees, that have certifications, have certain specialized types of training. And that really is indicative of the fact that the nature of security and war is changing for that much more technical side of things, without a doubt it's more efficient, and that is obviously very, very attractive.
The question, a lot of people will be getting out of the military who may have a secret clearance, or may have, you know, may not be the technical person, but may have come out with maybe a top secret clearance, whatever the case is. And you mentioned there's a over kind of becoming an oversaturation of number of people with clearances. You know, even for those people with clearances who may be coming out, is that market strong for them, or are we at a point because things are becoming so specialized that even with people with clearances, it, you know, if you only have a certain level of clearance, or your clearance was only for this, or you only had a top secret, but you were only kind of segmented for doing a certain kind of work, do you become less marketable? I mean, what's the situation for those people?
Well, you know, I think that one of the key areas that the government has made some good strides in is being able to upgrade a clearance when it's required. And, you know, someone coming out with a secret clearance is still highly marketable. Obviously, okay. The higher the clearance, the better, because, you know, it's much easier to downgrade than to upgrade. But, you know, we've been spending a lot of time here and in other places talking about the high engineering and the high technology roles, the ones that are very specialized, you know, linguists, cybersecurity, intelligence, that are such in high demand. But that's not to say that there are not other positions out there. They may be fewer in number, but they are still out there. We still have plenty of open positions for federal sales, tech writing, accounting, finance.
So all your support areas, administrative and finance and anything
exactly.
else, your mission support, you're still getting postings for those on your site?
Plenty of them, yeah. You know, tech support, contract administrators, logistics, purchasing, electrical engineers, healthcare. You know, those are still plenty of those positions out there. It's just that we tend to focus so much on those specialized tech and engineering roles.
Sure. So we're talking to Evan Lesser. He is director and founder of clearancejobs.com. We are talking about what's going on with this market. If you've got a clearance, it seems like the market is still pretty good for you right now. If you're a person who has some high-tech skills, then this market seems going to be even getting better for you, whether it be engineering, certain kind of language skills, whether it be certain kind of cybersecurity skills and things like that as the evolution of warfare continues. We'll be right back after this break. We're going to continue to talk about what's going on with this market. I want to talk to Evan a little bit about what's happening with these veterans. Are any of the defense contractors taking any major initiatives to hire any kind of veterans? And we'll find out what's going on with clearancejobs.com and see what they're doing on their job site. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
You can help the Army Historical Foundation honor the soldiers of yesterday and today. Go to armyhistory.org to learn how you can help build the National Museum of the U.S. Army. The museum will be the Army's national landmark, preserving the sacrifice of every man and woman who has worn the Army uniform since 1775. Visit armyhistory.org today and honor the Army's service of every generation.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days
would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7222.
For 125 years, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth of our nation's capital and its surrounding communities. Your support will help over 21,000 youth who need you most walk through the doors of a Boys and Girls Club and walk out with a plan for their future. Every dollar donated in fiscal year 2012 will be matched up to $250,000 by Stanley Martin Homes. You can help. Go online to www.bgcgw.org and change someone's life. This message is brought to you by GEICO.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about what's going on with this job market in terms of clearance jobs. There's been a lot happening with budget cuts. There's been a lot happening with the defense market, homeland security market. And this has an impact on those who are, you know, leaving the military, those who are in government, who had a clearance and maybe thinking about maybe moving to a government contractor, those who are trying to get into this job market. It has an impact on everybody. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com, a job site that posts jobs from the government agencies as well as government contractors who are looking for people with clearances. But they also give some good advice for all job seekers about how to get a security clearance, about what you should be doing. They have social networking tools and everything else on their site. Evan, you know, there's a lot happening. We talked about this in the show about all these veterans who are coming back from Iraq, Afghanistan. There's a drawdown of the military on all branches. A number of people are, you know, going to be let go, so to say, I should say, because the military is right-sizing. What is the job market looking like for those people who are coming out of the Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, Army, and everything else? What's the job market looking like? Are the government contractors putting some extra effort to bring in veterans?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that the current administration has been really good on is trying to work with private industry and defense contractors to really reach out to veterans and give them some additional opportunity, and that's definitely ongoing. You know, I probably get a few phone calls a month from new organizations that have been set up that are specifically for trying to help vets find jobs and to help employers realize the value of veterans. So I think there's a lot of activity there. What we've been telling a lot of people who are coming out of the service is that, you know, ordinarily they think immediately, okay, I'm going to have to head to D.C. or to San Diego or Colorado Springs. But, you know, one of the things that we've been telling people is that there are a lot of cities that we're calling, you know, kind of under the radar, that there's a lot of opportunity defense-wise for cleared positions, but they're not the places that one would ordinarily think of when you think of a security clearance job.
What and those areas that are under the radar, I mean, what are we talking about? Places in the Midwest? I mean, because everybody knows when people think about clearance jobs, we're talking about people think automatically the, you know, DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia, things like that. But what are these under the radar places?
Well, still plenty of jobs in Metro DC, but, you know, we've been pointing people to places like Gulfport and Biloxi, Mississippi. You know, you've got Kessler Air Force Base, the Navy Seabees, and they're actually doing quite a lot of work in military construction management and cybersecurity. You look at Detroit, which is a city that is synonymous with...
And that's my hometown, Evan, so say something good, please.
There you go, there you go. Well, you know, the good thing about Detroit is that while it's always been the forefront for the automotive world, there's actually been a really strong resurgence of major defense and homeland security contracts flowing into the area. Macomb County has about 500 companies that do defense and homeland security work. And in 2010, Detroit had roughly 100,000 defense jobs. The state of Michigan alone saw about 11,000 defense contracts worth over $4 billion come in. So a place like Detroit is another example of a kind of under-the-radar place that someone coming out of the military may not think about. Omaha, Nebraska is another one, United States Strategic Command. A lot of contractors in the area, at least 65 that we've noted, and the economic impact to greater Omaha was almost $3 billion in 2010. Seattle, another example, upstate New York, the Mohawk Valley Air Force Research Lab up there, lots of activity going on, especially for cybersecurity in that area. So, you know, we're trying to advise job seekers who are either in one of the hotbeds and looking for a different opportunity in a different location, or willing to reload, or the people coming out of the military, there's definitely a lot of positions open and in some places you wouldn't necessarily consider right off the bat.
You know, so much more to talk about. I want to give you a minute to say what's going on with clearancejobs.com as we're running out of time. But what's happening? Any new developments with the site?
Yeah, I think the two main things I'll talk about is that we've been running our annual security clearance salary survey, and the results will be coming out early next year. And we're really excited about it because, you know, years ago, we didn't see a whole lot of movement in salaries. They would get higher each year. But the main things that have gone on over the past couple years with economic impact and the talks of budget cuts seem to be having an impact on salaries. So we're really excited to see what the results come out with this year. Probably be out towards the beginning of February. And we'll definitely let you know what the results are from that. And lastly, the cleared network on the clearancejobs.com site has really exploded. And for any listeners not aware of it, it's essentially a social/business networking environment, but it's private. It's only within our clearancejobs.com site. So these are cleared professionals networking and interacting with those employers that are hiring, and not just with the company, but directly with those individual HR and recruiting staff members that are responsible for hiring. And it really has come off into a great endeavor in connecting people together.
Outstanding. I wish we had more time to talk about it, but we will talk about this as we go into 2012, and we're going to find out a lot more about what's happening with this salary survey, what's happening a lot more with the Cleared Network, and everything else. We've been talking to Evan Lester. He's director and founder of clearancejobs.com. Thank you so much for being on the show, Evan.
Always my pleasure, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch,
Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.